Let's rewind what we've done over the last few weeks. If you remember, 6-7 weeks ago, we started with making Jesus Lord, and we realized that Jesus is the boss of me, and I need to listen to him and allow him to shape my life. We began to get more serious about our daily devotions. How many of you since then find that you're more regular and more consistent in daily devotions? Anyone? Anyone who's done more than they've ever done before in their lives? Awesome. That's what it's about. How many of you have looked at ways to practice God's presence and bring him into more of your life? And we had some really creative ideas in that week. You remember too that we were challenged by Rhett Abele and myself last week to really live by faith, to understand faith, that it's believing God's word, it's obeying it. Because don't forget, if you stop at believing, even the demons do that. Even the demons believe. So, yippee, they're not exactly good fellas, the last I checked. But we obey God's word, and we watch God fulfill his word, like Moses at the Red Sea. And we were challenged to have both mountain-moving faith. Some mountains, we need to say to them, get into the sea, and they'll be moved. Just have discernment where you drop the mountain, because people can be injured. And secondly, sometimes mountains don't move. Sometimes the situation doesn't immediately go away. Then what do we do? Well, we said we put on our hiking boots and we climb the mountain. And the bottom line is knowing what mountain do I climb and what mountain do I move and cast into the depth of the sea. And I think God gives us wisdom as we go along, as we try. Good clue is if you've spoken to the mountain and it hasn't gone, then maybe you should climb it. Okay? Good clue. Well, today we want to look at how do we handle our moolah well. Okay, so it's Moolah Sunday, and get ready. I hope you've got lots of money on you, because this is going to be good. I've scoured contemporary culture, and this is what I've come up with. Money. More money. If I gave you 1,000 rand right now, what would you do with it? Turn to someone next to you and tell them what you would do. The best idea gets 1,000 rand. IMTA will give it to you. So Noms wants to tell us what she's going to do with it to get the 1,000 rand from IMTA. IMTA, do you have the moolah, the 1,000, for the best idea? Maybe he'll email it to you, the money. Cool. There's two kinds of people, and your answers would have been one of two. There's the person who's like money just burns a hole in their jeans. Or their wallet. The moment you put money in the wallet just goes like, and then there's just the money left and you have to go spend it. The other person is the saver. The person's going to put away. Who here is going to put a little bit of that away or something? Whoa. Yeah, that's, you were just trying to save, get the 1,000 gift, weren't you? And so either you are a spender or a saver. I've got two kids who are here today, and I won't tell you which is which, but one of them fit into each of these camps. Now, you can ask them later, are they the spender? Are they the saver? I grew up with a mum who believed that the ship was going to come in one day, and she was going to win an Edgar's sweepstake type thing. And she always promised us that one day, kids, one day the ship's going to come into Durban Harbor, and we are going to be rolling. And she took Reader's Digest sweepstakes, and she always checked the post. We're still waiting for the ship to come in. I think pirates got it off that like east coast of Africa or something. Some people feel that if they just roll the dice right, if we go to the South Coast Casino or if we head off to Sun City and we just roll it right and blow on the dice. And as a family, we play a game of dice called Farkle. I don't know if anyone's played it. You take five, six dice, roll them all. And if you get a 5 and a 1, you open your bidding. And then if you get 3 2s or 3 5s, 3 6s, you get multiple amounts of money. But here's the catch. When you've rolled 4 and you've got like 3 6s, and if you want to roll and get another 5 or 1, you got to pick up the remaining 2 dice and throw it. If you don't get a 5 or 1, you go Farkle, which is not a nice, doesn't even sound nice, does it? And you bust. But for greed, how many times you roll those dice and, oh, I should have stuck with 5,000 points and I've got zero. 5,000 or zero. And so many people on Saturday afternoons are desperately queuing up at the lotto store to get that chance to win a million. And I bet you, you've said before, if I won the lotto, I would never work another day in my life. I'd be made. Have you said that? Oh, yeah. Tell it to these people. Ken Proxmire won $1 million. Do the math. 8 million rand. He filed for bankruptcy and works as a machinist. William Hurt won $3.1 million. Spent his money on divorce and cocaine. He's now broke. Evelyn Adams won the lottery twice for $5.4 million. That's $10.8 million US. She lives in a trailer today, not a designer trailer. William Post won $16.2 million. He lives on Social Security and food stamps. That's not great. Janita Lee won 18 million mullah US, filed for bankruptcy 8 years later. She had $700 still. It's not as if she had nothing. If I was a millionaire, I would be really, really. Have you ever found yourself saying that? Oh, yeah, right. Tell it to these two guys. Henry Ford, every time you look at a Ford Meteor going by, I was happier doing a mechanics job, says Henry. John Rockefeller, synonymous with money. I have made many millions, but they brought me no happiness. If I can just go shopping, the guys say, I'll feel great. Party time. Oh, yeah? Until buyer's remorse sets in. I really shouldn't have bought those shoes. They don't look nice with my green outfit. And that handbag is already so old-fashioned. I'm just not going to wear it. I say those sort of things all the time. The Bible says that whoever loves money never has enough money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. I had a boss that one Sunday afternoon took a shotgun, shot his wife, shot his two kids, and then shot himself. He was the Durban Treasury Management Department's CEO. He did that because one of his three homes he lost in a gambling thing on the Saturday evening. All he had to do was sell maybe one of the other two homes in Durban North, and he would have been absolutely fine. But he didn't. He chose to take his life and that of the life of his wife and two kids. And so what's this? Does God hate money? Is he a grumpy old chap who wants to keep all the money to himself? But hasn't he blessed us to be a blessing? Didn't he do that with Abraham around the beginning? So I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. Weren't there lots of rich people in the Bible? Job was rich before and after the fiascos. What about David and Solomon? Solomon built that. God gave him the design for that house. That was like way better than this house on this property here in Parktown North. We're talking mega gold and fancy wood. But doesn't the Bible say that money is the root of evil? It doesn't. Do you think it says that? If you looked at 1 Timothy 6:10, that's not what you read. What do you read? The love of money is the root of evil. It's not money. Money is not the problem, people. It's not. And so today I want to give you quite simply three keys that if you put these in, they will unlock success and a bright future for you. If you don't do these things, your life will be a ruin. Money back guarantee. If you miss these three things and you do anything else, if you read Sunday paper last week, Sunday magazine, the M&M article, he wasn't negative about his riches, but it's come at a high price, a high cost. Three keys to handling money wisely. One, God owns some things, some of money. God owns everything. Everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And all who live in it are owned by God. If I could get a handle of the fact that God owns everything, not me, I would begin to realize there's a difference between a steward, a very old-fashioned word, but an important word, and you'll see why just now. But you can think caretaker, maybe. You can think butler, looker after. And the rich old geezer who owns the mansion. He's the owner, and there's the steward. A steward is someone who's hired to look after someone else's property.
It doesn't mean that it's like a lousy job necessarily. I mean, a gardener is not necessarily the worst job. A butler like Benson and others in TV, they're pretty cool chaps. You know, they stop who comes in the front door. But they don't own the place. There's a difference. And you and I, we're stewards. We're not owners. God is the owner, and I look after his property. And if I can have that mindset, suddenly the pressure's off. People handling money say that it's just the thought that I've got so much money and someone's going to break in and steal it. I sleep quite well at night because my 1994 Toyota Corolla is not exactly the most prized possession in my life. It's important to me, but it's pretty rickety, and if it's stolen, well, it's stolen. Imagine if you've just bought a brand new Golf GTR. You don't sleep at night. You're up the whole time. Any little noise, you're got your shotgun out and you're walking around, you've got razor wire, you've got the big dog, you know, you've got seven panic buttons everywhere, you're armed and dangerous on your tool belt because you're just waiting for someone to steal. I'm just a steward. I'm just looking after God's stuff. And so the old geezer, he says to himself, how much of my money will I use for God? Because it's my money. The steward says, hang on, how much of God's money will I use for myself? Can you see the difference between those two? The one that says, hey, this is God's money, and how much am I going to spend on myself? The other says, this is God's, not mine. Or this is my money, I'm going to use it all and see what I can do with it. So here's the story. We live on a playground. It's God's playground. Everything exists to extend his kingdom. He put it all here. He created it. But the devil and greed and maybe neglect or complacency, they break the equipment. And guess what? It spoils our fun and suddenly the life's a mess. But we can defeat the devil. We can overcome our greed and we can rebuild the park and play well again. We don't have to live in a rundown place because we've messed it all up. Okay, so God owns everything. Secondly, I give to God first. Everyone say first. It comes before? Second. I mean, even the exam learning can't fry our brains. We know that first is first, right? Not second. Well, have a look at this. So watch out. When you least expect it, Barry Bates, the linebacker offering guy. Here's what the Bible says. Honor the Lord with your wealth. With the first, everyone say first fruits. Comes before stale fruits. Honor with the first fruits of your crops. Why? So that you can be miserable. No, so that your barns will be filled to overflow. Who wants full barns? That sounds like a guy. Okay, let's rephrase that, girls. Who wants provision, supply, resource? Anyone? Of course, we all do. What does God say is the way to get it? Not to hoard it, but to give it, the first fruits. And then God promises that he would fill it up. The question maybe, am I giving what's right or what's left? Right. Is this what's right, my full tithe, or am I giving him what's left at the end of the month? You know, it's like, God, if there's anything left after I've bought all this stuff, you can have it. You know, it's like we get the offering box on Sunday, we throw it in the air, and it's like, God, catch. Whatever stays up, God can keep. Whatever comes down is ours to use for coffee. That's not really fair, is it? Because Barry's looking over my shoulder when I do that, and I'm about to be taken out. Now, here's number three, because here's where it gets really practical. Once I've realized it's all God's, once I've realized that I give back to him first before anything else, then I get to enjoy the rest wisely. And here I want to give you a couple ways to do that. How do I enjoy the rest wisely? Well, spend some wisely again. How do I spend wisely? I think about it. You know, it's like, have you ever bought a computer game and it sucks? Yeah. Because you haven't read the reviews. You haven't gone online and checked, is this Civilizations really good? You know, is it as good as Age of Empires? Kigs? No. You know, maybe you get some enjoyment, but you want to really make sure it's a good purchase. And if you've all just bought the new iPhone, everyone's waiting for the new release, the software release, I hear. My friend Steve is here, all the way from Australia. Give Steve a big round of applause.
he's the ugly one sitting next to the beautiful wife, and she's Felicity. Welcome with us today. And for the record, Steve's not unhappy with the iPhone he's got, but he is waiting for the little bug fix release so he can do a couple things that it can't do at the moment. But you need to check it out really carefully and be spending wisely, and then give some away. When someone's really in need and God points his finger to me and says, you need to help this person. Some people you need to not give to. Some people need tough love. Because the Bible says if you won't work, then you shouldn't eat. And so you need discernment even when you give. It's not just about running around and giving everything away. You can do more harm with your giving than good sometimes. Everyone know that? Some people need to be told, dude, can I help you find a job? Other people need to be bought a good meal. Give some away. Also want to challenge you to put some away. The spender's got something going for them, and so does the saver. When those two come together, you know, if you need that game that's 600 rand and your pocket money is 6 rand a month, you need to save for like 100 weeks or 100 months, right? But either way, you need to put some way to save up for that bigger thing. But if you blow it all on little stuff, you're not going to have. And so sometimes banking's good. Either your mattress, the first bank of the mattress, or FNB or Absa or Nedbank. So that you begin to save up. If you put it in that piggy bank, make sure there's a combination lock and your brother doesn't know the code. Also, you need to save some. Because you don't know what's going to happen a couple times later. Maybe recession hits. Maybe dad doesn't have any means or mum anymore. Your caregiver doesn't have a means. And I'm going to put some away, maybe for another day, maybe for when I'm old. They say the later in life you start saving, the less you're going to have when you retire. I'm watching a mother and dad in my family, my own mum and dad in retirement, who thought they were going to be well taken care of. It's really tight. Because when you're on pension, your income doesn't go up. And every time the interest rate comes down, you get less money, not more money. As a homeowner, I'm chuffed with the home loan rate coming down. My dad's crying. I'm happy, he's crying. I'm happy, he's sad. You know? I'm trying to think of a way to put his money in my home loan and pay him out of my interest rate that I would be scoring. But then the rest of the family are going to think I'm trying to steal from the old man. And so the younger you start doing that, the better it will be for you.
And I refuse to believe that I can change the world. I realize this may be a shock, but happiness comes from within is a lie, and money will make me happy. So in 30 years, I will tell my children they are not the most important thing in my life. My employer will know that I have my priorities straight because work is more important than family. I tell you this, once upon a time, families stayed together. But this will not be true in my era. This is a quick fix society. Experts tell me 30 years from now, I will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of my divorce. I do not concede that I will live in a country of my own making. In the future, environmental destruction will be the norm. No longer can it be said that my peers and I care about this earth. It will be evident that my generation is apathetic and lethargic. It is foolish to presume that there is hope. And all of this will come true unless we choose to reverse it. There is hope. It is foolish to presume that my generation is apathetic and lethargic. It will be evident that my peers and I care about this earth. No longer can it be said that environmental destruction will be the norm. In the future, I will live in a country of my own making. I do not concede that 30 years from now, I will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of my divorce. Experts tell me this is a quick fix society, but this will not be true in my era. Families stayed together once upon a time. I tell you this, family is more important than work. I have my priorities straight because my employer will know that they are not the most important thing in my life. So in 30 years, I will tell my children, money will make me happy is a lie, and true happiness comes from within. I realize this may be a shock, but I can change the world. And I refuse to believe that I am part of a lost generation.
You can reverse trends. You have the power to change your future by practicing principles, godly principles for handling money. Well, we're going to have an offering message now from three accountants in a church. Are you ready for this? They're going to teach us about giving. Watch out for Barry, the linebacker. Take the accountant's word for it. You give God 10% off the top, you will prosper. I want to guarantee you that this morning. It's all over the Bible. Test me in this, God says. Give me the fruit, first fruits, and I will bless you. Debbie was telling me this week of someone we grew up with on the bluff in Durban, and none of the kids gave except one of the kids. And she's nowhere with God right now, but she is absolutely blessed. And the mum says it's because she put God first when she was young. And it's a spiritual principle of sowing and reaping. You give, you receive. It's not magic. It's God's principle. I'm going to send this around, and we'll talk about wrapping up. Just look over your shoulder when you put something in the box in case Barry's looking. I want to challenge you in this coming week. My grow book is in my bag at the back, but I promise you I'm up to date. All the way up to session 4 has been done, and I'm really looking forward to doing session 5. I want to tell you it's not too late to do session 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. It's not like you're not allowed to do it. If you've missed a week, that's cool. You're welcome to do it. Money can buy me love. Okay? Remember that? It doesn't buy happiness, but use it well. Remember that everything is God's. Remember to put God first, to give to God first. As you get that pocket money, put it away. It's got nothing to do with the church wanting to make money. It's about God's principle and God's law. And then make sure that you use the rest and enjoy it. Enjoy spending. God's not a grumpy old man, okay? And so that basket's still going around. Don't forget Friday night is a big night. If you want to pass that in the second row after you've been up and down 3 times, that's cool. And Friday night, be here or be square. Come prepared for an incredible night of poetry, of interaction, of rap and stuff. It's going to be really good. I want to pray a blessing over you this morning. If you want a special blessing that God would touch your life, if you want to stand for this prayer as an acknowledgement that you want to do whatever it takes to live God's way, to put God first, and to see yourself be blessed beyond your wildest imagination, then I want you to stand. If you don't want to, if you want to be poor, live in poverty in a shack, then stay seated. Choice is yours. If you want to stand for prayer, I want to pray a special prayer this morning. And who doesn't want to be blessed? Come on. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you this morning how that you've blessed us with so much. Lord, we sometimes look around and compare ourselves to 50 cents. And we think that we just don't have as much as him. But Lord God, you've given us so much. You've given us a home. All of us lived and slept in a warm place last night. Many of us drove here this morning. Some of us have the health to walk from Parkhurst. And God, we just want to thank you for what you've given us. We want to pray that you would bless us beyond our wildest imaginations. That you would open the heaven gates and flood us and let our barns be filled. But Lord, we know that to receive that blessing, we must put you first. We must realize that this is all yours, and that if we hold it to ourselves and grab it too tightly, we won't enjoy it. And so, God, let us be channels of your blessing. Let us give back to you when we receive. Let us give to others wisely. Let us spend with joy wisely. Let us make sure, Lord, that there's always some saved for that day that won't be so rich. And God, I pray right now that you would come into this place by your Spirit, and that you would see every life standing before you, that by your Spirit you would touch each life for blessing upon blessing, so that we can be a blessing to others. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are going to do in us from this time forward as we put you first. You've told us to give and to test you to see if you won't open the windows of heaven. And so, Lord, we're going to test you in this. We're going to be faithful givers, and we're going to give you all that we can, and we're going to see you bless many, many people through us. In the incredible name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. 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 Go in peace. Have an awesome week.